Nice spring we're having this winter, huh? Yesterday was a beautiful day. I hope you were able to at least stand outside and just look around for a few minutes, because it was spectacular. Just few days would be better on the face of the earth. Why are relationships so important? A lonely place. You ever read Robinson Crusoe? You didn't miss much. The stories on, you know, the movies are better than the book in a sense. They telescope everything so that there's a little more going on. But the storyline in Robinson Crusoe, if you're familiar with it, guy gets stranded on a desert island, figures out he's not the only one on the island, but the only other person on the island that he's aware of is, in quote, a savage. And the savage ends up basically saving his life over and over and over and over again, because the guy that knows it all is an imbecile. But he thinks he's superior. He would never have made it on his own. And the sad thing is, he never realized how valuable Friday, which is, you ever heard the expression, Man Friday? That's where it comes from. Friday is what he named the savage. Relationships are so important. We can't make it on our own. We all need help. We all need someone in our lives. Relationships provide us purpose. They provide motivation. I would say that people who go through deep depression, as they're separated from other people, suffer not only from the depression, but suffer from the absence and the isolation. I think it's very interesting that everything we see in the Bible, in the New Testament, shows us that we were not made to live in isolation, and that in fact we were made to live in relationship and community with other people. So when we talked last week about applying this metaphor that we are using of being in line with God's purpose and plans, we started this conversation about that applying in a unique way to relationships. And we talked about how a little bit of how the relationships that we have cannot be separated from the relationship that we have with God. We invoke the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself, being two sides of the same coin, as Jesus presented that. And we fleshed that out a little bit as we talked last week. Today, there's three passages that I want to look at. They bring a lot of weight to bear upon this idea of being in a right relationship. We talked last week about how difficult it can be to be reconciled with other people when relationships are broken and someone is an offender, and it's just, there's no contrition. And we talk about how hard that is. And sometimes there is no good answer other than to say we have done what God has called us to do as best we can to reconcile in certain situations, and we have to leave the rest to God. And that we have to go where God lets us go, and we can't make everything all right and dandy. And a lot of times we talked also about how it doesn't ever get back to where it was before. There are scars, scars heal. There is a certain amount of reconciliation, and there's no longer guilt or shame that's applied or bitterness. But that doesn't mean that it's gone or that it never happened, and that we are trying to all live with that and get through that. Which is why I think today, when we start to talk about the things that are true in Scripture about the way that we relate to one another, because this is definitely, these passages relate to us as a people who belong to God, who belong to one another, the things that are important for us. And the cool thing that I get to say is that I think the good news is, since Regina and I have been a part of this congregation, this thing, the Southwest, then the Sycamore Network, now Sycamore Church, I have never seen people go after each other. And I've pastored churches where people were after each other all the time. I'm not saying there's not a possibility. Yeah, we're all weak. We're all, you know, we're all there. We can fall in that ditch if we, you know, choose to. But we've never seen that. And we're so thankful. So today we're going to talk about critical alignment. So I'm not talking about it. I guess I that's a preface because I don't want you to think, well, he knows something. I don't know. What's going on? It's juicy. Yeah. No. It's the reality is this is who we are. And we have to make sure we know the truth. Because it's the truth that sets us free. All right, John, let's look at that 1 Peter passage. Now, a lot of times, you know, this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. I go back to this passage all the time because I think it deals with us and where we live. It's about our times. I know that Peter felt the same way. That's why he said it. And we're 2,000 years later there, so, and, you know, it's still just as fresh, if not fresher, than it was when he said it. He said, the end of all things is near. And, you know, therefore, there's something we're supposed to do. Be alert and sober of sober mind so that you may pray. Boy, that's a great start. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. John, next slide. And then he goes on and he describes how spiritual gifts should be shared with one another in the body. He said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I want to focus on that part in that passage. I felt like I needed to give you the whole context. Didn't want to just suck a verse out and not deal with the whole context. It's talking about a time when things are hard. When there is an invitation to discord and upheaval. When the times get short before Christ's return, things are not going to be peachy keen, hunky-dory, everybody's being nice. And I don't know if you're like me, but whenever I get under pressure, there's times where I get short with other people. And no matter what I want to be, I am sometimes not what I want to be in terms of the way I deal with people. Especially people that I love dearly. Certainly you're not like me. So in those times, John, go back to that first one. We've got to remind each other that it's very important that we are doing those first two things. That we are praying and that we are doing so when we are alert. And we're paying attention that we are not in any way deluded by the drug of choice. Whether it's entertainment or things that ought not have our attention or literally things that affect us physically. Any of those kinds of things that would detract us from being able to focus and pray so that as we do that, we are able then to love each other deeply because we've got to cultivate that. If we can't love each other deeply, then we are in a lot of trouble. So here's my question. Actually, the first of three. What do you see being the antidote? If there's an antidote in this passage, for broken relationships, or maybe even an inoculation to avoid broken relationships, what do you see here? loving each other deeply. When you love people deeply, you find a way to get through the hurt. Am I right? Now, I'm not saying that there, again, there's relationship issues where things have to change, but when we love each other deeply, and here we're talking about the body, we have a motivation, a desire to get past the offense and to get right. And not let it get to the point where things are irreconcilable. Does this make sense? When we love deeply, it's the only time it's possible. Because if we don't love each other deeply, it won't be a possibility. So loving each other deeply seems to be something that Peter is saying could be an inoculation or an antidote. Now my question is, how does love cover a multitude of sins? Okay, allows you to step out. Okay. It's a love that's Jesus kind of love. Okay? All right? And since He died on the cross, forgiveness is available, grace is available to bear upon the relationship that has been affected. And it's still hard, isn't it? Sometimes whenever people that we love deeply offend us, it hurts the worst. We know this is true because God told Peter to write it. Love covers a multitude of sins. Without love, probably forgiveness nor reconciliation is really very possible. Just look around the world, and where you don't see Jesus living, you'll not find a whole lot of forgiveness and you'll not find a whole lot of reconciliation. And you certainly won't see anybody serving anybody else. And there is still a change that takes place. Anytime broken relationships are not reconciled or resolved, there's always going to be something changes trajectory in the life of a person. And it may not be visible until something else happens later on down the life of the person. And then there's a trigger. And all of a sudden that thing that the person thought they were able to ignore or not deal with, it's there. And they have no resources to deal with that. And there's a lot of things that can happen at that point. We are gifted with resources by the power of God, power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that even though those things may, if there's something that we have not dealt with, when the Spirit brings that before us, we have the ability to deal with it in one way or another. We may not want to. We may say, I'm not ready for that. But the thing is, if the Holy Spirit brings it before us, then we have the beginning then of being able to let, whether it's reconciliation, forgiveness, or whatever process needs to begin, it can begin. Love can, I like what was said a while ago, and I think that's very true. Love can cover a multitude of sins when we acknowledge that we have been forgiven much. And when we remember that we too have transgressed, we have hurt others, we have sinned against God, and that we have been forgiven, and that we then need to remember that the love that He's placed in our hearts is there for a reason, and that's that we too would be gracious and forgiving and merciful with people who are not perfect either. That's hard. I think the more mature we become in Christ, the more we are able to be like Jesus. New folks in Christ struggle with that. Teenagers who are trying to figure out their faith struggle with that. It's hard. But when we remember how we've been forgiven, we then can be humble and offer forgiveness, be open to reconciliation, and let God do things through us that are God-like instead of human-like. All right. Anything else you want to say about this? These next passages, they all really seem to feed off of each other and go together. All right. Ephesians 4. This one's going to be a couple of slides also. Probably three. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. And Paul had just said a lot of things about people who lived in ways that didn't please God. When you heard about Christ, you were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, the way that I like the way he said that before I launch into where we're going to really go. He talks about being like Jesus, sort of like putting on clothes. And that, you know, every morning you and I choose what we're going to put on. You know, I chose to wear this blue shirt and khaki slacks. And then I have to choose to put on Christ. It's not that he hasn't changed me. He lives inside of me. But because I haven't changed, I still have to choose to live like him and to want to be like him. So he says, therefore, don't you just love that, therefore? Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Sounds like an antidote to me. Doesn't it sound like an antidote to you? In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, so that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now we have some of the same things that we had in the last passage. You've got to love each other, need to forgive. We see here in this passage sort of a litany of symptoms that derive from broken relationships in one way or another, and then a command to not do those things anymore. The end of these is, I believe, to restore or realign our relationships for God's purpose. And it's talking about amongst us, believers in Christ. So what are some things you see this passage saying about staying in alignment with God's purposes and in our relationships with one another? No trash talking. Okay. First one is unwholesome talk, and then...
31, I think.
Yeah. Which convicted me whenever I was a relatively new believer. When you're an athlete, you hang around a bunch of guys that all they like to do is put each other down, trash talk, and it's almost like it's an art. It's a sport. It's sort of like the one upping guys. You know, you got a story. Well, I'll tell a story. Well, it's you got a cut. I'll you know you got a diss. I got a better diss, and you know, and it's kind of out of hand. And as a believer, I don't need to say anything that would cause anybody to feel bad about themselves. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I would assume that all this stuff He's telling you not to do would grieve the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit lives in you and me, and we're doing this kind of stuff,
it's already on your heart.
Yeah, it's. You know, if the Spirit's living within us and we're listening to the Spirit, then He's not going to go, oh yeah, you just say something else negative about that guy. No, that's not what the Spirit's going to do. Because the Spirit's purpose in our lives is to teach and direct and convict us of sin. Right? Now, here's and I still have to remind myself of this a lot of times, but every inconvenience that God allows me to endure is not necessarily meant to be a test of my patience. Sometimes it's a matter of saving my backside. Because I may have been 5 minutes faster and right in the middle of that 5-car accident. I've measured those out sometimes. And, you know, I think it's all, oh, I'm in a hurry, don't they know? And then what happens is God's really saving my life. Here's our last passage. Again, therefore, don't you just love those? As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Here we go again. Put on Jesus. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Like Jason pointed out a few minutes ago, it's a choice. It's a choice to be. Was that Jason? It was Jason, wasn't it? Forgive me, Carol. It's a choice. Bear with each other. Those people that get under your skin, especially the ones you love dearly, who today when you woke up are really bugging you. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, any, not some, but any, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Funny how we come back to that again, huh? And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So if we want to be in a right relationship with God and with one another, we've been swimming in the waters all morning long. The things that bind us together is the stuff that reminds us how much we need Jesus and that He lives in us. All right. What else do you see in this passage? Anything you want to spend some time with? We all have to stretch a little bit in the sense that, yes, we really do need each other in our lives so that when you know me well enough to know that I'm acting like an idiot or somebody who's not being nice, that you can say, Rick, that was not nice, or that did I understand it this way? Did you mean it that way? You should be able to say that to me. And I should know that you care about me enough to ask me. We need people in our lives who will help us do that. We need accountability. It's not, why can we not front load this some instead of always being afraid of the back load? When we could have front loaded it and not had to have our brother stumble or have a broken relationship, we can do things up front that can keep that from happening as much as it does. But the problem is, in our litigious, in our politically correct culture, it's almost unheard of because we're afraid somebody's going to take it the wrong way. That's not the way we ought to act towards one another. Is this ringing true for you? Sometimes we have to be a Nathan. And we have to tell him a story. And then whenever that, you know, who is this guy? Well, you know, look in the mirror. You're the guy. Sometimes that's what we're supposed to do. But that's not always what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we ask the questions and we have to let the Holy Spirit do the massaging. And rub in what it is that the Spirit's telling us to do and let God do that. So it's not like we're always supposed to be in people's faces. It's just sometimes we're there to ask questions and then let God do the rest. Reconciliation and relationships and forgiveness and love, if it were easy, then we would be a lot more like Jesus. And I don't think it was necessarily easy for him sometimes. I can't imagine that it was easy whenever he was being scourged. Can't imagine it was easy whenever he was being nailed to the cross. Can't imagine it was easy when he was praying in the garden, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." And when he said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." I don't think it was easy. It's the way it's perceived. Yes, it is the way that it's perceived. And what's this fairy tale versus that fairy tale? If it's perceived as that, you know, yes, real life stuff. A God intervening, God reconciling, people forgiving, people. You know, those are the things that remind us that God's at work. And if we're not letting God do that in our lives, then we go kind of circle back to where we began. If that's not happening in us, who's it going to happen in? And why would anybody believe that God forgives if we're not forgiving people? We're not ambassadors. We're not ministers of reconciliation. If we're not willing to reconcile with others or be those who allow God to use us to make relationships right, ours or others, whatever He leads us to do, then why should anybody believe that there's a God who reconciles with man who's sinful? And we live in days where there's going to be more and more and more and more pressure. And that pressure is going to sometimes give us opportunities to snap, and bite at those that we care about the most. Because we're human. And what we're talking about is very, very important. Because we've got to be in perfect unity. And the only way we get there is if we learn to let love cover a multitude of sins. And we act like ministers of reconciliation. All right. I'm done singing. Anybody else have anything you'd say? Are we teaching the Word like it's living? That it's lived? Or are we teaching it like it's dead and it is a rule or a regulation? Today, did you hear 4 steps to reconcile with whoever your relationship's broken with? Because that's not the way life is. It's not 4 easy steps. Life's messy. God's accessible. The question is, when the rubber hits the road, are we living what He said? Not in a legalistic way, but because the words are life. They tell us how life can be blessed and abundant and better and joyful. Or do we choose our way? And He has so much more for us. All right. Everybody, spine feeling a little bit more straight? All right, let's pray. Father God, we are right with you because of the work that you've done for us in Jesus Christ, and we are grateful. Lord, today I pray that you would give us the blessing and the privilege of being humble before you and others, so that whenever we are offended, Lord, we remember that we too have been offenders and that we have been forgiven much and we are not perfect. Lord, help us to have a little more patience and a lot more love for others who have also offended us. Lord, I ask that you would leave doors open so that whatever you bring back to our memory, our mind, any relationships, Lord, that we have allowed to become misaligned with your purpose in our lives, that, Lord, you would give us opportunity to reconcile to the degree that you make possible. And that, Lord, the love that we have for others and the humility you put in us allows other people to see the power of God. Forgive us for choosing not to let your power be visible in us. We ask this in Jesus' name.